You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Well, praise God. Today we're going to be talking about fulfilling the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told his disciples, he said, when he had rose, he said, now all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he said, now go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world or age. So Jesus has given us a commission to go out and to preach the gospel. But one thing about him, he's not going to give us a command to do something without first equipping us with the ability to do it. And so on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 1, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all assembled together in the upper room, the Bible says that there came a sound as a mighty rushing wind from heaven. And the whole place was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they all began to prophesy and to speak in tongues, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that day. That's the indwelling presence of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, but you have been bought with a price. Then he said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Why is it so important? Because your body is the temple. It's God's dwelling place. But he said, glorify God not only in your body, but also in your spirit. Your spirit has to be renewed. Over in St. John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he said, Master, I know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Immediately, Jesus takes over the conversation and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means that he cannot see, know, or even understand God's way of doing things unless you're born again of the Spirit. And that born again is that, number one, you had to be born first in the earth to qualify to be born again. But you were born of the flesh at first. He said, for that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not that you must be born again. And that word must is an imperative. It's not a suggestion. You must be born again. But how can a man be born again? Even Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? How can a man be born again? Well, the Bible tells us over in Matthew, and he talks about the contrast between good and evil. And he talks about us as though we were evil. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost unto those that ask of him? So that means now, in order to receive the Holy Spirit, you got to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible said there is only one baptism, but there are many fillings. Baptism took place on the day of Pentecost. What do you mean by baptism? At the time of baptism, what's happening is the church was placed under the authority or the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said he will lead you and he will guide you into all truth. And so his job is to lead us and to guide us in the way that we should go in our relationship with God. Also, the Holy Spirit came to give us power, because Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and because of the power you receive, now you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the Great Commission comes when God gives us the call. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, whom he calls, he also qualifies. And whom he qualifies, he justifies. So he took away our sins. We are freely justified by his grace. He has called us into the ministry of reconciliation. That means now we have the responsibility of sharing the gospel message with those that are lost in order to share the good news that a man can be saved simply by receiving what Jesus has already accomplished at Calvary. The Bible says we're saved by what? Grace. And that's through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's not what you do that saves you. It's what Christ has done. And when we receive the finished work of the cross, then we qualify ourselves to receive the abundant pardon of his grace. And now our sins are wiped away. You're no longer classified as a sinner. Your designation goes from sinner to saint. Of course, the world and religious circles want to keep you in that sinner mindset by saying, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, we fall down, we get up, or sin is just a sinner who fell. No. Your whole designation changed. There are no sinners in heaven. Ain't no sinners going to heaven. You have to be saved down here, and once you're saved, that designation changed. You go from sinner to saint of the Most High God. Look at the scriptures. The Bible said when Jesus returns, he's returning with the saints. He didn't say he's returning with the sinners. They're here. They're still getting ready to be judged because they have not made the declaration of faith of receiving who Jesus Christ is. So now let's look at some of the things that we see when God gave us the Great Commission that we're supposed to do. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Very familiar portion of scripture. In Romans chapter 10, it talks about, let's start at verse 6. I usually start at verse 1, but let's start at verse 6. He said, but the righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Now, let's talk about the word righteousness at first. How do you become righteous? What can you do to become righteous? There's nothing you can do to become righteous. The Bible said that you were made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. How were you made the righteousness of God? When you believe God for salvation. The Bible said that Abraham, he believed God, and because he believed God, it was accredited or accounted unto him for righteousness, because he believed God's word. Therefore, no sin has been laid to his charge. So therefore, when you receive Christ, now because you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose for your justification, because you have repented of your sin and asked Jesus to become the Lord of your life, now you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why is it important that you understand that you are no longer a sinner? Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And in Christ, Christ is separate from sinners. And so if he's separate from sinners, how can we be in him if we're a sinner? So he is the righteousness of God. He has been justified. He justified us by faith. He has changed our designation. He has made us the righteousness of God. And now he has placed us into the family and in the household of God. But let's look at what it says over here in Romans chapter 10. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Your mouth has a very important part to play in your salvation and in your confession, especially as in the Great Commission of being a witness. He says, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. I mean, don't be saying, well, listen, if Jesus comes back, then we can all get saved again. No, he's already died once on the cross for all sins. Now, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's not coming back down to get on the cross to save you again. So we don't say if Jesus was here, we'd be all right. No, righteousness, which is of faith, we believe God. He says, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You know, this whole thing is about you believing. Do you believe the message of the gospel? It's all by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die on the cross for your sins? And so if you can believe that, and you believe that he is the Savior of the world, and he rose from the dead, and he's right now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. He's right now praying for you. He's right now hoping that you'll get a revelation of who you are in him, so you can come and become true to the calling that God has on the inside for you. He says, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's simple as that. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that Jesus is Lord? How many believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of every sin. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead according to the scripture. I ask that you would save me now. I receive your blood as an atonement for my sin. And right now, by your grace, I am saved. Thank you, Lord. And listen, if you said that little prayer and if you confessed that prayer, God heard that prayer and your sins were wiped away. You were forgiven. You were redeemed. You were set into the household of God. Now, some people are going to tell you, well, you know, if you're going to get saved, you need to stop this. You need to stop that. You need to quit this. You need to quit that. Listen, those are after effects of salvation. Those are not things you need to do in order to be saved. Those are things that happen once you are saved. Why? Because God imparts unto you his divine nature, which is, changes your appetite. It changes the way that you think. That's what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind about who Jesus is to you that results in a change of behavior. I know a whole lot of people that quit smoking, quit drinking. They don't go out clubbing. They don't eat no meat. They don't do nothing, all this, and they don't believe in God. So if it was just a change of behavior that saved you, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. But because of his shed blood, now we have the atonement. We have the remission, the forgiveness of sin in our life. He said, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's the emphasis of believing in the heart? Because there's a lot of cerebral thought. People get knowledge about stuff. People can read this, but in their heart they say, I don't know. I don't really believe that. You know, I don't think nobody can do that. It's something I need to do. I don't think nobody can do all that for me. It's something. You know, there's people today still trying to be good enough, trying to justify themselves in their actions. Well, you know, I go to prayer meeting and I go to church 3 times a week and, you know, I go to field service and I help little old ladies across the street and, you know, and I give all these things, good things to do, but has nothing to do with you qualifying for salvation. The things that we do for God is because out of a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, because we have been redeemed, because we have been forgiven, because he was willing to die for us, we got to be willing to live for him. Because if you believe in God, suffering, punishment, and torment that lasts forever and ever. Nobody wants to go there. Who wants to spend that kind of time in hell? Twice as long as a forever and ever hell. Nobody wants to go there. But it says this, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. If there's no shame, that means there's no condemnation. That means there's no sin. There's nothing that God is holding against you. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the Lord, for the same Lord is over all and rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever includes whosoever. But there's a question there, a role that we have to play. He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, the world don't know Christ like you know him. The world don't know Jesus like you do. People talk about the man upstairs. Yeah, you know, yeah, Jesus is my buddy. Now, you don't know his majesty. You don't know his power of his resurrection. You don't know the grace that he has for us, the love that he loved us with. And when you start telling somebody about God's redeeming characteristics, his redeeming love, and you tell them how much he loves you that he thought that you were to die for, so he did, to redeem you. See, the reason you don't understand is because you don't really know your purpose and who you are and why you were even created. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. God said, let us. Then he turned around and said, now let them. God wants us to do the same thing that he does, to operate the same way he does, because we are God's offspring. We are the children of the Most High God. But we have to start at the elementary rudimentary way of the world, of the word, by getting people into the knowledge of who Christ is. And then once we get into that saving faith knowledge and receive him, the Bible said we're supposed to grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of who he is. And then we have to discover who we are in him and understand the power that has been invested in us when he deposited the Holy Spirit in us. The moment we got saved, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When we ask God to fill us, he fills us with the anointing, which is for service. You know, there's nine fruits of the Spirit, but there also are nine gifts of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, they manifest in our life as we grow in grace. Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, gentleness, long-suffering. These gifts are cultivated through life. But see, when you first get saved, you're still the same person you were before you confessed Christ. It's the difference between being saved and being delivered. See, when you first got saved, I tell you my own experience. When I first accepted Christ, I was still smoking Salem Lights, still drinking Mickey Big Mouth, and still had some other stuff going on in my life. But the closer I got to God, the more those things became a reproach to my life. And the more those things I had to separate from my life because it conflicted with my testimony. Oh, I love God. I love God with everything that was in me. But I allowed the things that I was doing to damage my testimony. So God, when God said, if there first be a willing mind, a mind that's willing to change, God said he'll put in you both the will and the ability to do his good pleasure. This is when I learned that my body was the temple of the Holy Ghost. I can't be putting everything in this body and offending God. I can't allow the things that I do to damage the testimony that may cause somebody else to stumble or fall or to turn away. I have to understand that God, in order to please God, the Bible said, listen, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandment is that you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. So if I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. If I love you, I'm not going to lie on you. If I love God, I'm going to honor him at all times. I'm not going to take the name of my Father in vain. I understand God's purpose and plan for my life. I'm going to sanctify the Lord in my heart. I'm going to keep him holy unto me and reverence who he is. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When you have a reverential honor of who your Father is, and think about the creator of all things is your Father. We have earthly parents who bring us into the world, but our Heavenly Father is who we are created to serve. And once we understand the awesomeness of who God is and the magnificence of his glory and how he would even allow us to be a part of his family, he calls us sons and daughters. The Bible says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou my beloved son, this day I will begotten thee. Listen, you're in the top rank. You are the children of the Most High God. And the Bible said right now it does not yet appear what we shall be. Because all we see when we look in the mirror is our weaknesses and our infirmities and our dissatisfying with ourselves. You know, everybody look in the mirror and they become their own worst critic. You know, everybody sees something they want to change. Short people want to be tall. Tall people want to be short. Skinny people want to be fat. Fat people want to be skinny. You understand that? Black people want to be... I'm saying black. Let me bring it back this way. There you go. Poor people want to be rich. Rich people want to stay that way. Oh, Lord. But people become dissatisfied with their condition because they don't know who they are. Because, see, their condition doesn't always line up with their position. The Bible says, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. All things have become new. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. When you got saved, God removed all guilt and condemnation from your life. But the devil will always try to remind you of your past, of your shortcomings, and of your faults. He said, you ain't perfect. He said, you're right. But I am forgiven. I am redeemed. You ain't. And you can't be forgiven. So it says, there's therefore now, somebody say right now, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, see, we live under a certain law. Folks say, well, you know, I ain't under the law. I'm under grace. Well, there's a law in grace that you have to live by. We're not under the Mosaic law. That's true. But it says here, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So when I say and I walk in the law of the Spirit of life, that means in Christ, I live, I move, I have my being. That means in him, I made him the head of my life. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. Sin no longer has dominion over my life. I can walk in the newness of life. I can love my brother. I can love my sister. I can forgive and bless my enemies. I can bless them that curse me. I can pray for them that despitefully use me. I can love them. Why? Because God has forgiven me of everything. So I have the ability now to forgive anybody of anything. See, God said, listen, he is the one who will bring the recompense on those who treat you evil, not you. He'll be the one that'll stand up for you. God said, you forgive. You let them go. Because, see, if you get in the fight, God steps back. When you let God fight your battle, he's out in front. He's taking care of your enemy. Well, we got to understand that. So let's finish looking at that. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And so if I'm free from that law of sin and death, that means sin no longer has control or dominion over my life. Now, before you got saved, you had what I call the can't help it. You were a servant of sin. You just sin, because that's all you did do was sin. Everything you tried to do good was still sin. Why? Because you were born in sin. You were designated a sinner, and your best stuff that you did was still called sin. No matter what, because you can't be righteous on your own. No matter how many little ladies you helped across the street, no matter how much you gave to charities, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are still a sinner. But now that you got saved, you're delivered from the law of sin and death. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So now sin no longer has any control, no authority, no dominion in my life. Does it mean that I'm perfect? No. That means when I mess up, even if I sin, I am not classified as a sinner. That means now I need to go back to my Heavenly Father and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I repent. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, he forgives us of our sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He don't tear up your birth certificate when you get sin. kick you out of the family, say you ain't my child no more. No, whom the Lord loveth, he would chasten or scourge every son or daughter that he receives. You're going to get chastisement. You're going to get a whooping. Why? Because he's trying to bring correction. He don't want to see you terminate your life prematurely because of your bad behavior. And that can happen. If you continue down the road of darkness, then you're giving the enemy access to your life. And even though you have confessed Christ and you die, you know, let me give you an example. You meet a junkie on the street. I mean, he's got a bad habit. Junkie on the street. But yet you witness to him. You witness to that junkie. And you tell him about who Jesus is. And with everything that he can do and muster up, he accepts Christ as his Lord and Savior. But he still got a Jones. And that night he go back and he got to get that one more hit. But this one is an overdose. And it kills him. Is he saved or is he lost? Let me ask you a question. What did you do to become a sinner? Nothing. You were born in sin. So what can you do to become righteous? Nothing. You had to be made the righteousness of God. And so once you were made the righteousness of God, there's nothing you can do to change what God has done for you. Oh, Pastor, you're preaching that once saved, always saved stuff, ain't you? Ain't that what you're preaching? Well, listen, you can live on eggshell salvation if you want to. But I believe that once God has done a finished work, and if I accepted Christ in my heart, now he knows who I am. There's some pretenders, some fakers out there, but he judges the heart. He said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. And if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may be still bound up, but you're saved. See, salvation and deliverance, deliverance can be a process. It can be something that takes place over time. Let me give you an example. The thief on the cross, who's crucified next to Jesus, two of them. One reviled him to, you be the Son of God, come down, save yourself, and us off too. Us too. Other one said, man, is you crazy? Now, we up here because we did wrong. But this man did no wrong. Then he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And God said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't say, oh, God, I repent of everything. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Did that man have time to come down off the cross and get saved? Did he have time to go back and make restitution for all the stuff he might have did or still stolen anything? No. He was still on the cross, nailed to it. But God forgave him. What about the woman who got caught in the very act of adultery? And they took stones ready to stone the woman. Folks said, well, where was the man that she got caught in the very act? I agree. But they ready to stone her. Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, because all y'all sinners. He stooped down on the ground and he began to write. I believe he started at the oldest and wrote their name and started writing their sin right next to it. Said, I believe everybody came around and took a peek and saw their name, dropped their rock, lifted their little one finger, and tipped out the room.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Lord, I come, take my life, I offer it to you, a living sacrifice, by your grace, by your blood, I come into you.